2017. Do you remember in when we were flipping from 2000 or from 1999? Do you remember those that year? And we flipped to 2000 and they thought everything was going to go crazy and something about Y2K and all that kind of jazz. And here we are 17 years later, still alive and well and loving Jesus. Amen? And so it's a time of Christmas is a great time of celebration. And I think that we need more celebration. Maybe it's because I've been married to Pastor Ace the Otter for so long. But I think we just need to celebrate Jesus a lot more, especially as believers. I mean, we can get pretty discouraged about what's happening in our city, our nation, the world. However, we as Christians need to be the most happiest people on earth because life is serious, that's for sure. But as believers, we just have so much to celebrate. Christmas time should be a time of joy, but along with the celebrations and the joy, Christmas brings a lot of expectations, doesn't it? Speaking of expectations, I think the kids can be dismissed and go to your party upstairs. So all the kids can go upstairs. They're going to have a little party for you upstairs. Nobody wants to go to a party? All right, that's good. Walker, you can go as well. And the rest of you have to stay here. We'll have our own kind of party. And so, yeah, Christmas brings a lot of expectations, and always with expectations, there comes disappointment along with it, kind of like the Christmas movie. You remember seeing the Christmas movie? I think it was just called The Christmas Story, about Ralphie and how he wanted a Red Ryder BB gun. Any of y'all saw that movie? That's a cute movie. Well, he was disappointed. He had an expectation because he'd talked to Santa. He had done all this stuff. He'd written letters and he wanted this Red Ryder BB gun. And after all the presents were open, he especially did not like the bunny costume that his pajamas that his aunt made for him. But he didn't get his Red Ryder BB gun until his dad said, I think there's one more behind there, and it was hidden behind there. And so until that expectation was met in Ralphie's life, there was a lot of disappointment. And sometimes in as we go through life, we have expectations. When we have children and church and marriage and all that kind of stuff, we have expectations. But along with those expectations come some disappointments as well. And so we need to be careful because in the midst of life and all that goes on in it, our joy can be snatched away. And we have to be watch over that. We have to make sure that the joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And without the joy of the Lord, not just the happiness that the gifts bring or giving or buying gifts or getting gifts, not just that, that's happiness, that's excitement. I'm excited about what I'm giving. I'm excited about what I'm getting. You know, I'm excited about that. But it's not my joy. My joy is found in Jesus Christ, who never, ever changes. But we know that life can take turns, and sometimes life can take twists. When we get married, we have expectations of what the other person is like. And oftentimes what we've dated or courted, if you want to use an old-fashioned word, then the person seems to change over a little bit of time, don't they? They're not, things just seem to change because the real person comes out. I remember hearing someone at an anniversary party. He'd been married 25 years, and he said, if I killed you when I got the chance, I'd just be getting out of jail now. So we do know that oftentimes in marriages and in life itself, our expectations are not met. But I want to encourage us this morning because I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying that we need to hope again. That in the midst of what we have or what we don't have in our lives politically, what we don't like, what we do like, all that kind of stuff, that in the midst of that, let's begin to hope again. Because our hope has an awesome, awesome foundation. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about what he's given to us as a hope. Amen? And so we need to be people that hope again. And let's not be afraid to hope. Sometimes we get afraid to hope because of the disappointments that have happened in our life. Our situation might not turn out the way that I expect it or the way that you expect it. But in the midst of it, God is still God and he directs our path. Amen? Story is told of the actress Helen Hayes, who hardly ever cooked a meal. Some of us can identify. In fact, it had been years. She wasn't very good at it, but one Christmas, she decided to cook a full turkey dinner. She'd never done one before. So she called her son and her husband in, gathered them at the table, and said, I'm going to cook a turkey dinner, and you know I'm not a good cook, and I just want you to know that this may not come out very well. So if I bring out the turkey and it's not good, I don't want you to say anything. Just quietly get up, put your coat on and your hat, and we'll go to a restaurant, but don't say anything. So she goes to the kitchen, she prepares it all, she brings the turkey. When she brings it to the dining room table, there's her husband and her son standing at the table with their coats and hats on. So their expectations weren't really too high, were they? But we need to have great expectations. And sometimes we treat life like that. We expect the worst so we won't be disappointed when it happens. And we won't be caught off guard, but that's a terrible way to live. To live a life with no hope and to always expect something bad is going to happen. You know what it's like. You get a phone call in the middle of the night. None of us wake up and say, yes, that must be the lottery calling. I've won the lottery. That must be so-and-so calling. I've got a great inheritance. No. What do? We always think the worst. Why would anybody be calling me at 2 a.m. in the morning, you know? Even when my phone, oftentimes, some of you are up much later than I am, and my phone beeps and I get up and look at it, I'm always thinking, I wonder if that's one of the kids. Something's wrong. Where were they? Are they in an accident? I have to grab my brain and bring it under subjection to my mind and say, no, you're not going to think like that. Because it never has been. Only once has Rebecca walked into my bedroom at way after midnight and said, Mom, they're keeping Madison in the hospital. That was the only time anything, quote, bad ever happened. And even that turned out for good. And so we need to up our expectations a little bit. Amen? We need to have some hope this Christmas time. And Jesus said that we need to have childlike faith, not childish, but childlike. And I love watching kids at Christmas time. Walker is already saying that maybe we need to change the order of how we do things at Christmas. Maybe I need, because I go to Brock and Rebecca's Christmas morning and have little breakfast with them. And he's thinking that maybe I should bring their presents to their house so they can open them Sunday morning. But I said, no, you have to wait till Boxing Day. But the expectation, I love that expectation of kids. Amen? I just love it. It's so amazing and so awesome. And somehow, no matter how many times we say, well, you're not going to get much under the tree this year, they don't care and they don't believe it. It's just the wonder of Christmas time. It's an incredible, tremendous plan. Think of the planning. And I know it's God, okay? Like, I know that. But think of the planning that must have gone on in the heart of God to orchestrate something that would save our world. He'd gone through other things, sacrifices, all that kind of stuff, people being holy and righteous, we could never make it. And so there had to be another plan, but it wasn't plan B, it was plan A. It was his plan right from the beginning of earth. And so let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Predictable, familiar, ho-hum. You might even fall asleep or tune out in the middle of this, but I encourage you not to. Matthew chapter 2, one of the Christmas stories. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. I'll just read it to you. I don't know if any of you, I don't even know the name of the movie or anybody in it because I'm not good at stuff like that. But there was a movie, I think it was a pretty good movie, about a president who got shot. Because it was a movie, it was a story. Anyway, to watch the movie was a little confusing because Vantage Point. Thank you. I knew that your brain would know it. And so this person, anybody seen Vantage Point? This person saw what happened. And so you saw it from his perspective. And then it flashed back and you'd see the same stuff again and wonder, why did I press rerun or something, you know? But no, it was another person's vantage point. So I want us to look at some things with the idea of unexpected and expectation from different people's vantage point. And so Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea." And so, like, let's just stop right there. Second chapter of Matthew. You got to remember, 400 years has passed. Silence from heaven. God hasn't spoken a word for 400 years. And now all of a sudden, here we are, second chapter of Matthew, and bam, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so we back up a little bit because this birth, although it was not unexpected to scholars and people who studied the Word of God, to how it happened and who it happened through was very unexpected. Mary, a plain young woman, unexpected. And so we're going to travel now, flip over to Luke. Let's start now in Luke chapter 1. We'll get back to Matthew chapter 2. I hear pages flipping? No. Okay. So, and because you've heard the story before, I'm just kind of going to go through it line by line, and I'm just going to say some stuff about it. So Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, I believe. And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, okay, we have to stop there. Elizabeth and Zachariah actually means God keeps his covenant. And so we've got Elizabeth and Zachariah old. I don't know how old, but they're too old to have babies. Just too old to have babies. You know why people over 50 don't have babies? Because we'd forget where we put them. But they're old, right? And not only that, they've tried to have children. Elizabeth could not conceive. And so here we are. Something unexpected is happening. Elizabeth is now pregnant. She was barren and old. How unexpected is that? Yes. And then God sends an angel, Gabriel. Well, we know Gabriel. He's the announcing angel. It's like we all these angels have gifts. And so whenever something big is about to happen, Gabriel, ta-da, enters the scene. And so Gabriel comes again, 400 years, never a word from heaven, no prophecy, nothing has happened for 400 years. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up to an old man who's in the sanctuary making sacrifices to God, and this angelic being named Gabriel shows up. How unexpected is that? That's pretty unexpected. And then it says, to the Galilean village of Nazareth. Now he's going to meet Mary and Joseph. Yeah. To the Galilean village of Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man to be descended from David. And you remember what people said about Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Listen, they've said the same thing about Hamilton. Can anything good come out of Hamilton? No, if we're going to have a concert, we're going to go to Toronto. If we're going to have a big meeting, we go to Toronto. Can anything good come out of Hamilton? And all God's people declared, yes. Good stuff can happen unexpectedly, maybe. Anyway, moving on. And his name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted Mary. And I think, like, what chemistry drew Mary and Joseph together? They were, like, opposite. They lived in the same village, but and it wasn't just, well, you've heard the story about, well, God told me to marry you. Well, God didn't tell me. Well, there was some chemistry between Mary and Joseph, right? I know there was because I've seen the movie, and you see how she lovingly looks in his eyes. So there was chemistry between Mary and Joseph. And the angel says to her in the Message Bible, "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God is with you." And she was, what does it say? Thoroughly shaken, verses 29 to 33 now. Unexpected, just going about your everyday business, and this angelic being shows up. And the angel assured her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you." I bet she didn't believe that. I bet she didn't think that God, I mean, they celebrated in the Jewish custom, but God has something for me. You know, some of us need to realize that God has something for you. Not just for everybody else, not just for the ones with big names or a lot of money, but for you, God has something for you. And the Message says that God has a surprise for you. You got to know that God likes you. That God doesn't just love you, but that God likes you as well. And that's a whole different thing. And then he goes on to say, "You will become pregnant." Surprise! "You will give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus." Listen to this. "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will rule Jacob's house forever. To his kingdom, there will never be an end." What a surprising thing to say about this child that she was going to be impregnated with. And Mary said, "How can this be? I've never even slept with a man." That's pretty surprising to me, that not only the angel comes and gives an announcement to her, because every time you see an angelic being show up in Scripture, you find people afraid. There's this great fear, because they're not this cute little cherubim, you know, with flapping little wings, and, you know, they're fierce, awesome, huge beings. And so it's not only unexpected that the angelic being comes, but now little Mary is asking this authority from heaven a question. How can this be? I've never even slept with a man. How can this be? And so I think it's pretty unexpected that she's talking to the angel. And the angel answers and says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be the Holy Son of God." And so we could go from a different vantage point. That's maybe Mary's vantage point. But we could go from a different point where, like John the Baptist, why was he even called John? That was really unexpected. You know, all the people of the community, because back then, whenever anyone was pregnant or something exciting was going on, the whole community got together. Can't you just see those Jewish mamas? You know, they've got the name. They know what the name should be, because they know his ancestral line. And so John the Baptist writes down and says, "We're going to call his name John." And they kind of argued with him and said, "Well, like, you can't really call his name John. You don't have anybody in your family named John, you know." But he sticks to it. And I think that that's pretty unexpected, that he's not swayed by the crowd voting for the name of his child, that God had told him something and he's sticking to it. And in our day, that's pretty unexpected. Because we get tossed about with a little bit of this. We read something on the internet that's got the name Christian over it. Totally unscriptural. Taking scriptures, moving, shifting them around, twisting them around. And yet we begin to follow that thing. Take the example of tithing and bringing your tithes and offerings. There's so much incorrect, I almost said a different word, but there's so much incorrect stuff on the internet about that. And we jump in the midst of that, and instead of doing what God has called us to do, we go by the opinion of the world. Zechariah did not do that. And I think that's pretty unexpected. So Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. "About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire." A what? A census? What is a census? Have you ever heard of that before? That is so unexpected. You can see God's hand just moving things into position. Okay, this child is supposed to be born in a certain town, in a certain place. So here's the pregnant mother way over here, miles away. However, are we going to get her to Bethlehem? And God says, I have a plan. Don't worry about it, angels. I have a plan. Read the planning board. And so this was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth. What happens in Nazareth? Nothing good happens in Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. But now he had to go to Bethlehem. And so we see, aha! That's why the chemistry between Mary and Joseph. Because Joseph would need to go to Bethlehem. And Joseph would need to register. Come on, this is bigger than Hollywood. This is awesome. This is so miraculous and amazing that all of these things. Why didn't he just pick somebody in Bethlehem? Why didn't he reserve a room in the inn? No, because there were prophecies. There was things, there were promises in the word that need to be fulfilled. And you know what? God loves pomp and ceremony. He loves it. He loves parades and clapping and banging, and he loves that. He's not this quiet, secret little God. He's awesome and he's amazing. And so Joseph went with Mary, his fiance, who was pregnant. Oh my gosh, I think that ride was pretty unexpected. Because I saw a little Peyton, she was running around in a costume. I don't know if you saw it this morning. Oh, you had to see it. She ran by. And I said, oh, look at you. You're the donkey that Jesus rode on, you know, in the Easter story. And she says, no, I'm not a donkey. I'm a horse. But what Jesus went to, and I think that ride would have been absolutely so unexpected. So unexpected. Verses 6 and 7, while they were there, the time for her to give birth. What? She's about to give birth after riding a donkey for how many miles and how many days and hours? Oh, this is incredible. Who could make up a story like that? How can it be? Ready to give birth. They're not home. There's no parents. Every daughter knows you want your parents around. You want your mother in that room to hold your hand. You want your mother in that room so that you can say nasty things about your husband while you're giving birth that he may never hear, right? You want your mama there. And no bed, nobody to boil water. But she gave birth to her son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket, laid him in a manger. That's pretty unexpected because there was no room in the inn. That's pretty unexpected. If it was my story, I would have had more compassion upon Mary. I would have had somebody move out of the inn so Mary could move in. But no, God is concerned about the prophetic. And God gives grace to those of us. So unexpected. Gives birth to this baby. He will be great. God, you're great. Jesus, you're great. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever. No end will ever happen to his kingdom. Quietly in an obscure town, a stable, nobody to celebrate. Hang on, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Here's the vantage point of the shepherds. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Nothing unexpected there. Bunch of shepherds sitting around a fire, watching their sheep. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Again with the angel, this time to some shepherds, lowly shepherds, just ordinary people. And they, the Bible says, they were very afraid. Yep, that's pretty expected. They were afraid. And then the angel said to them, again with another announcement, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now that's pretty unexpected. Not just the people watching, not just the Jewish nation, but Gentiles as well. To all people, that's pretty unexpected. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. Well, I think that's kind of unexpected. A sign? Why are you giving these shepherds a sign? A sign to shepherds? Why don't you give a sign to some of the, I don't know, like smarter people, if you want to put it that way, although the shepherds were not ignorant men, but just, you know, like a different class of people. Because Jesus is saying to you and I that no matter what class we are, whether we've got gold to bring him or whether we've got ourselves to bring him, that we're included in that great joy to all people. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Yep, unexpected. Not where you'd find a human baby. And suddenly, this is my favorite part. This is my favorite part. I'd like to see this reenacted somewhere at one of the video screens in heaven when I get there. This is my favorite part. There was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Can you not just see? I mean, that is unexpected. One or two angelic beings showing up to make an announcement, great. But now this portal in heaven is opened up, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angels spilling out because they can't wait to give the announcement. Oh, you and I know what it's like when we've got something great to announce. We know what it's like when somebody spoils my present and tells so-and-so what it is. We know what it's like. I had a little gift wrapped for Walker. He was helping me wrap presents. I had a little gift wrapped from, and it was under the table, and he looked down and said, oh, that's for me. Oh, I know what that is because it's such and such a size. He named what it was. And I said, well, sometimes I disguise my presence, you know. But you know what that's like? Well, here's these, like, spoiler alert. This angelic beings, multitudes of them, not 5, 10, 15, 20. Guys, billions of angels spilling out of heaven, coming through this portal, singing, glory to God in the highest. That's pretty unexpected. Or a bunch of shepherds sitting on a hillside. One or two, I might deal with that. But now there's this multitude of angels, heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. I hope you can hear their chant. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Lots and lots. Imagine their total unexpected surprise filling out of heaven. Verse 15, and so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, I like this, not sure it's unexpected or not. Personally, I don't mean anything about genders, but I think it's kind of unexpected for men to say, let's go. Ladies, we can say, let's go. Shopping in the States? Yeah, I'll clear my calendar. Let's go. Let's do this little serendipity. Men, I don't know, somehow that personality just isn't quite like that. So I think it's kind of unexpected that the shepherds say, let's go. Let's go and see this. Maybe they just want to hang around and say, let's see if the angels come back. That was so cool. Let's get our cell phones out. Maybe we can video this, you know. Maybe we can FaceTime somebody about this. But let's now go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made it widely known, the saying which was told them concerning the Christ child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. Kind of unexpected in this day. Unexpected for you and I to have something so great and so awesome and to share it. It needs to become more expected that as believers, you know, people have said, not so much this year about people saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Every person I met said Merry Christmas. There was maybe one or two that said happy holidays back to me. I always said it to them, Merry Christmas, and they said it back. They didn't just look and smile. When are we going to start openly sharing our faith? When are we going to get so excited about the visitation that we have had by the Christ child to begin sharing it with other people? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Over to Matthew chapter 2, back to where we started. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. I wonder what their expectations were. They'd followed the prophecies. Now they see the star that was prophesied, the light that was prophesied. And they followed that star. I think that's pretty incredible. They followed that star. And this was the prophesied King of Kings that they were going to see. And so they received direction. They followed the star. And even though prophesied, pretty unexpected. Where would this star lead them? Must be to a palace, because this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what happens with them and what happens with us when we follow directions, when we follow, I'll put in quotes, the star, when we follow directions, and yet the star doesn't lead us to a palace, maybe a stable, probably a house, but an ordinary thing. What happens when we think something great and something grand is going, wonderful is going to happen, and instead we get a plain, just a stable? Imagine what they must have thought when they got there. Just a plain, ordinary place. There's no way to pretty up a stable, no way to pretty up the smell that there is. And I do realize that it was probably 2 years now, and the baby was older, and it was in a home, at somebody's house. But you know, we tend to get our days and our lives all planned out, and then something unexpected happens. Something unplanned happens. Like Mary, unexpected things happen. Joseph, the shepherds, all of these things, nothing like the wise men anticipated. And maybe your life is nothing like you anticipated. Maybe you thought things would have been a little different. I'm there. And maybe you're there too, in the small things in life and in the big things in life, in the church situation. Things unexpected happen. So what do we do about that? How do we handle it? Do we just suck it in and get a grip and grin and bear it? How do we react when we have followed that star and the direction, but it's taken us to an unexpected place? And what if it doesn't lead us to where we thought it would lead us? How do we handle it? How do we react? Well, not just grin and bearing it. There is an alternative. Let's look at what the wise men did. When Herod heard that the wise men were looking for the king, he was troubled and disturbed. Well, yeah, that's pretty expected, because when another king is coming, then that means your job description, you're about to get your pink slip if there's another king coming. And so he sent for the wise men. He got some information about the star that they followed. And he, Matthew chapter 2, verse 8 says, he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the Christ child was. Matthew 2:10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came to the place, they saw the young child with Mary, the mother. They fell down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, myrrh, all unexpected for Mary, but all important. And then being divinely warned in a dream, well, that's kind of unexpected. All of a sudden you're following the star and you go to bed at night and your head hits that hay-filled pillow. And all of a sudden God shows up in a dream, warns them, and tells them not to return to Herod. And so they departed for their own country another way. So I see three things out of this that can help us. Number one, look for God in the stable. Look for God in the unexpected. When our expectations aren't met, when we come up against unexpected things, when our expectations are not fulfilled, look for God. Look for God in the midst of it. Scripture is full of men and women who've done it. We just read about a few connected with Christmas. But the Apostle Paul, I'm sure he didn't expect to end up in prison, but he did something about that. He wrote most of the letters in the Bible that we read. A very expected phrase, worn out, predictable. When life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. See, y'all know it. But do we do it? Do we find something awesome, something good in the unexpected? Do we find God in the midst of the messes and stables, things like that? Don't despise the stable. Go there. Look for God. The poem said, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other stars. So what do you see in the midst of what's going on in your life? God uses messes to do amazing things. Secondly, they offered their best and they worshiped. Now, the shepherds didn't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but they came and they worshiped. They, whatever they had, they gave their best to Christ. When reality is different than what we expect, when there's disappointment, there is always a temptation to withhold our best, isn't there? Well, I'm not giving you a gift this year because I've given you a gift for 5 years and you've never given me anything, so I'm going to withhold my gift from you, right? I'm going to withhold in relationships, husband-wife relationship, if things kind of get off track a little bit, we withhold ourselves. We withhold our emotions from each other. And sometimes we just stop giving altogether, not just giving of our money, but giving of ourselves. But the wise men and others gave their very best to God that day. There was a guy in one of the churches that Pastor Ace and I attended. He withheld his tithes because he didn't like what the pastor, the way the pastor preached. And he told Ace as he was greeting that morning, he said, I come here, he said, but I give my tithe to such and such a church. And so Pastor Ace was very forward and said, then you should follow your money. You should follow your tithe because you're not happy here. And so when we don't like stuff, we withhold. The shepherds, the wise men, did not do that. They gave their very best. Wise men give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They gave their best and then some. So let's give our best. Let's worship with our gifts. Let's worship with our gifts. We have gifts, not just money, but who we are holds gifts inside. Let's worship God. When you give your gifts, you're worshiping God. And these wise men fell down and worshiped him. And so they looked for God, and I encourage us to look for God in the midst of what might be a mess in our lives. Let's offer our best, our very best to God. And then lastly, they changed direction. Stable experiences, and I mean barn stables, change our direction. Verse 12 says, they departed to their own country by a different way. You see, once they met the Christ child, they changed their direction. And I think that's a picture of salvation. That when we meet Christ, when we bow and worship and give him our lives, there needs to be a change of direction. Something changes. Something changes in the way we live our lives, in the way we worship. When we meet Christ, something changes. When we see God in the midst of our barnyard situations, in the midst of our messes, things change. I change when I encounter God. We've had places of failures where we step back and we say, I really blown it. And you either right at that point, you let God work in your life and you change directions, or we sit there and we just don't learn anything and we don't go on with God and we don't change. Wise men still seek him, but wise men change directions. So has your stable, your mess brought you to a place of change, or have you let disappointment, unexpected, take charge? If you've followed the star and it's brought you to a place you've never expected, do you look for God in the midst of that place? Do you give your very best and worship him? And then do you change direction? Wise men do. Wise men see things with the eye of faith. They bow and worship. A baby born in a stable, announced by a star. Isn't that something? I pray that the awe and the wonder of what has happened will not put us to sleep, will not just be ho-hum. I hear this every year. No, this is awesome. It's awesome. All that he moved history. He shifted nations in order to bring that baby to the right place in the fullness of time. It wasn't late. Might have been late according to us and according to the hymn writer, but he wasn't late according to God. God's never late. Unexpected? Yeah. Who would have thought? Other religions don't think a Savior was born in a stable. It's just a nice story. But for you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, the unexpected brings great expectation. Battles raged, men fought and died, and a wicked king ruled. And God's answer was simply a baby. If I had some videographers and stuff, there'd be a baby on the screen and there'd be the cry of a baby. I hope you can hear that cry of that baby. It's not a baby anymore. He went to the cross, he lived, he died. And we celebrate that part of his life as well, because he didn't stay dead. How unexpected is that? He rose again. They didn't expect that. Oh, they didn't expect that. They had to make up lies about it. What about our failure? Does it cause us to change direction? Let's allow the hope of the cross, the hope of the cross, to resonate in our spirits today. Let's allow ourselves to hope again, even though some things have been unexpected. Let's begin to be pregnant with expectation, with what God is about to do in our nation, in our lives, in our church, in our families. Let's not allow the fear of failure to come on us again. The way we've always done stuff. Look, there's a great little story from Max Lucado, and he says these businessmen did an experiment with a group of monkeys. Four monkeys were placed in a room and had a tall pole in the center, and suspended from there of that pole was bananas. One of the hungry monkeys started climbing the pole to get something to eat, but he just reached out to grab one of those bananas, and when he did, he was doused with a torrent of water. Squealing, he scampered down the pole and abandoned his efforts to feed himself. Each monkey had a similar attempt, and each one of them was drenched with cold water. And after making several attempts, they finally gave up. Then the researchers removed one of the monkeys from the room and replaced it with a new monkey. As the newcomer began to climb the pole, the other three grabbed him and pulled him down to the ground. Trying to climb the pole several times and being dragged down to the ground by the other monkeys, he finally gave up and never attempted to climb the pole again. Researchers replaced the original monkey one by one, and each time the new monkey was brought in, he would be dragged down by others before he could ever reach the bananas. In a room filled with monkeys who had never received a cold shower, but none of them would climb the pole, and none of them knew why. Let's not be like that. Even though there's failure in this, let's begin to hope again. Let's begin to believe God, that out of the unexpected, expectation can come. Let's look for God. Let's give our best and worship. Let's change direction, and let's allow hope to rise in us in an unexpected way. The other unexpected thing, the beginning of Christ's life, the last of Christ's life, was the death that he, and the price that he paid for your life and my life. You were ransomed. You were bought. You were bought with a price, an incredible price. And so today, as part of Christmas, we want to celebrate communion with each other. We want to give thanks to God not only for his birth, but he's not a little baby anymore. He didn't stay a little baby. He grew, but he died a cruel death. And then he was resurrected for you and me. He lives. Today he lives, not just an Easter story, it's part of the whole story. It's part of that vantage point that you and I can see things from. So I'm going to ask the worship team, if you would go and get ready to sing this song. I'm going to ask